I lived for myself. It was written on my face. Now staring in the mirror, a portrait of disgrace. My accuser verdict, but I called out to Christ. He took my place on a cross at Calvary, and he took my pain. God offered his son so the whole wide world could know the gift that keeps on giving, the only real hero. From earth's sorrow, for me, when he loved me to death, and he took my place on a cross at Calvary, and he took my pain in his hands and his feet. Mercy or justice, heaven or hell, I took forgiveness. Took the nails. I took forgiveness, and he took my nails.
Appreciate congregational singing. Appreciate the special music right there with Sister Savannah. Appreciate Brother Evan getting everything lined up for this meeting. Again, it's a special time, sort of extracurricular. Man, some of you braved the elements today, splashing around like little ducks getting in here. Some of you got frizzle day. We hire, but see, I don't have to worry about none of that. I just have to worry about the splattering effects that happen. That's what happens to me. Mine splatters. Y'all just sort of freezes a little bit with your hair. But anyhow, I'm glad you're here today. And I want you to turn your Bibles with me into the Old Testament. We're going back there today. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12 is where we'll be taking our text for just a few minutes. This morning, I'll say this. Every service that you have the opportunity to be a part of is a service that can absolutely change your life. Now, it doesn't matter if it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, revival meeting, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Here we are Saturday morning, and you've gave up your Saturday to be here. Man, what a tremendous service that was last night. I'm still been feeding on that. About the investments, boy, I look back and I think about how folks invest in my life, and I want to invest in the lives of others as well. But I remember as a 23-year-old individual, I was just been married a couple years, and we was at a revival meeting at my home church. It was in October. I can't tell you the exact date, but it was in October of 2000. 23 years old, and I could have been a lot of places, and I chose to go to church that night. And Brother Adrian, that's when God began to deal with my heart about preaching. Now, if I hadn't been in my place that particular time, I'd have missed out on a blessing. It took me two more years before I finally surrendered on October the 7th, 2002. But I heard a message that absolutely changed my life out of the Gospel of Luke, and I could take you to the text today. I'm not going to. That's not the message. But God used that message for that hour, and it was specifically for me. I believe every service, there's somebody, and there's probably multiple people that need something, but it seemed like some folks grab a hold, and it may just be one. I don't remember anybody else being on the altar that night during revival, which I wasn't really concerned. I wasn't looking around, but I just knew that night God had centered my heart. And this may be the very hour. It could have been last night for somebody. I mean, God spoke to my heart last night as well. But I'm talking about real defining times in your life that I can trace back, Brother Jesse, when I was 23 years old, that God took that message and changed my life. And understand this, the decisions we make today defines our tomorrow. I'll go a step further. The decisions we don't make today define our tomorrow as well. So a lot of it is how do we respond to the Word of God. How do we respond to what God has to say? Well, God has something to say to us today. And, of course, we're dealing with the life of David. Some of you, I know probably here at the church, probably tired of that. Man, there's so many examples, so many things that God can teach us through the life of David and through the Scripture. So this is where God has centered our heart. And the preacher last night when he was praying, he hit the title of the message today, really, and I didn't even know it. But if I could preach on a thought, I just want to preach on the special forces. The special forces of God. If you look in the military, and I don't know them all, but I know there's the SEAL Team 6. I know the Green Berets. We hear about them quite often. And the Delta Force. That's a group of some elite folks that have basically surrendered their whole life for a cause. Well, do you know today God is still seeking for those that will make a decision for Him to make a difference for not only today, but for the days to come. Now listen, understand that people that are, and don't misunderstand what I'm saying because I gotta say this before I move further. People that are 40 and 50 and 60 and 70 years old, although God can still change their life, they're pretty much what they're going to be. Is that not a fair assessment? I mean, for the most part, their better days that would be behind them, so to speak, as far as physically the capabilities that they have. And most time, by the time you get to that point, you're going to be what you're going to be. You've already made those decisions on those days, and it's defined your tomorrow and the tomorrow after that. And see, that's why we invest so much in our young people, our youth program, not only youth, but in our college and career age, because you're in that vulnerable time right now. You can go either way. One way or the decisions you make today is going to define you tomorrow. The decisions that you don't make today will define your tomorrow as well. I hope that makes sense, but that's why we put that investment on you. A lot of folks say, oh, well, the young people, they're the church of tomorrow. I disagree with that. You're the church of right now. Of holding offices and doing things for the glory of God. If you're saved by the grace of God, God can use you. And this message will be targeted to believers above all. If there's somebody here listening or listening by way of the live stream, if it's on or the CD, what have you. If you've never been saved, that's your greatest need. But our focal point today will be for those that have received Christ. There is some steps that you can take. There's some decisions you can make today or not make today that will absolutely define your your tomorrow and the weeks to come and the months to come and the years to come. As a preacher hit it well last night, on the investments that we make, we're sort of building upon that. But in 1 Chronicles chapter number 12, I won't ask you to stand, but we're going to read several verses. I'll tell you what we're going to do before we even read the scripture. We're going to pray because I got some words I got to try to hit. Hannah, so let's pray together. Father, we sure do love you. We thank you for the opportunity, God, to stand behind this sacred desk, God, one more time. And Lord, to preach your word, God, you know the needs of every person under the sound of our voice today. And you know my weakness. You know my needs. You know my frailty. God, I pray that you'd help me, Lord, today to just decrease, that Jesus may be increased and lifted up. Help me, Lord, to articulate the message in a way that you'd be honored, you'd be pleased. I pray that you'd speak to every heart. Lord, I'm thankful you spoke to my heart numerous times through the years, and the decisions you helped me to make have helped define who I am today. And Lord, you get all the glory. You get all the honor. But I pray for that one today that may be searching, that one that may just need to step out into the little deeper water. God, I pray that today would be that happy hour that somebody makes a newfound commitment to you to serve you the rest of their life. We'll be careful, Lord, to give you thanks and give you praise for what you do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Well, we've read this. Well, we ain't read yet. We're getting ready to. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. And you pray for me. I'm going to skip some of these words and because there's a lot of names in here. Man, you get into 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, you get into those genealogies, man, hey, some of those words that are hard to pronounce. But still, my favorite word name in all the Bible's found in the book of Nehemiah, Hashbadan. I still believe we should have named Garrett that, but we didn't. We called him Garrett. But anyhow, there's some interesting names that are famous in the Word of God. But we're going to read some things here about David's men. He had some men that were referred to in this chapter as mighty men, but they weren't always labeled as mighty men. I would liken them unto misfits, and we'll develop that here in just a few minutes. But notice our text in 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. Now, just a little bit of context is this. Israel has been given Saul to be their king. They complained. They wanted to be like other nations were, and the prophets will say, hey, listen, God is all that you need, but they kept complaining, and God gave them what they wanted. One of the greatest judgments you'll ever receive in life is when God gives you or gives a people what they want. They wanted a king to reign over them so they could be like the rest of the world. Well, God gave them a king by the name of Saul, and we understand that David was God's choice. He was a man after God's own heart. You heard some of that last night. We know that Saul was rejected as king for his partial obedience there. He didn't destroy all that God told him to destroy in the Amalekites. And he also sought counsel from that witch at Endor in 1 Chronicles chapter 10 and verse number 13. Saul knew that the Spirit of the Lord had rested upon David. And Saul saw David as a threat to his throne. So he went after David, and for many years David has lived the life of a fugitive. He's been running, and he even made that statement in 1 Samuel 20 and verse number 3. He said, there's but one step between me and death. I mean, that's how close he was, because Saul was constantly after him seeking his life. David didn't do anything but honor the Lord. Can I just say, oh, Saul is a type of the devil. He's always after us. But I reiterate what the preacher said last night. I hit it last week as well. The devil's not our greatest enemy. Your neighbor's not your greatest enemy. The greatest enemy we have is ourself, this old flesh that we're going to deal with. Our flesh keeps us from making decisions that we should make for the Lord, and it helps us to make decisions that we shouldn't make as well. But notice as we read on, as I'm just developing a few things, but David, he's went down into the land of the Philistines. He's ended up in a place called Gath. And old Achish, the king of Gath, gives him a place called Ziklag. And that's where our text sort of picks up. And he's there in that particular place. But David has these men have come unto him that they'll be referred to as mighty men here in just a few minutes. And notice what it said in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Keep in mind, Saul is after David. David has went down in the land of the Philistines. Achish has give him this place called Ziklag. So here he is, and notice what transpires in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 1. Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag, while he yet kept himself close because of Saul, the son of Kish, and they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. Verse 2 said, they were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow. Even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. Now drop down with me for sake of those names and look at verse number 8. And of the Gadites, there separated themselves unto David into the hold to the wilderness, men of might and men of war fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions and were as swift as the roes upon the mountain tops. So let's drop down to verse 18. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains, and he said, thine are we, David. And on thy side, thou son of Jesse, peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Then David received them and made them captains of the band. And there fell some of Manasseh to David when he came with the Philistines against Saul to battle. But they helped them not, for the lords of the Philistines upon advisement sent him away, saying, he will fall to his master Saul to the jeopardy of our heads. As he went to Ziklag, there fell to him of Manasseh, Adnah, and Jozabad, and Jediel, and Michael, and Jozabad, and Elihu, and Zilthai, captains of the thousands that were of Manasseh. And they helped David against the band of the rovers, for they were almighty men of valor, and were captains in the host. Verse 22 said, for at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him, until it was a great host like the host of God. And these are the numbers of the bands that were armed to the war, and came to David to Hebron, to turn the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. Now drop down with me to verse number 32. And of the children of Issachar, which are men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank, they were not of double heart. And of Naphtali, 1,000 captains, and with them with shield and spear, 37,000. And of the Danites, expert in war, 28,600. And of Asher, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, 40,000. And on the other side of Jordan, of the Reubenites and the Gadites and of the half-tribe of Manasseh, with all manner of instruments of war for the battle, and 120,000. Now verse 38, the first word said, all. Not some, not a few, not many, but the word of God said, all these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. At this time, again, Saul is the one that is literally in charge, but David has already been anointed. And here he is. He's down in a place called Ziklag, but I'm glad he's not by himself, Brother Evan. If he didn't have these mighty men with him, he still had the Lord God of heaven. There may be times when you may feel outnumbered. There may be times when you feel overwhelmed, but just understand, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. That's a promise that God gave to us as a child of God. It makes no difference if you're teaching those kids back there on Wednesday night, if you're driving a van, if you're preaching a message somewhere along the line, teaching a Sunday school class, helping Vacation Bible School, handing a track out down at the Chosen Deal down in Greensboro or Raleigh or wherever you go. I'm glad we're not alone. We got somebody that'll go with us, the one that we took forgiveness and he took the nails for us. His name is Jesus. We want to make much of him. But listen, David had the Lord, but he also had some tangible help along the way in these mighty men that they're referred to. But they weren't always referred to as mighty men. I want you to listen to this. In 1 Chronicles chapter 22, the Bible said this in verse number 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. Now when David was running from Saul prior to him getting to Ziklag, he goes and he spends some time in the cave of Adullam. He's hiding from Saul, and some of his brethren came down to where he was. But a lot of those mighty men that we read about in 1 Chronicles 12, they weren't referred to as mighty men in 1 Samuel 22. Listen to how they were referred. We would liken them unto misfits. Boy, God can still take a misfit and turn them into a mighty tool in the tool belt of God. For in verse number 2 of 1 Samuel 22, and everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Here's men, according to the word of God, that were in distress, that were in debt, that were discontented. Man, that's a group of misfit men. And they weren't referred to as mighty men, but they came down where David was. They made a decision that helped define their tomorrow. They made a decision that changed their life. They yoked up with the true heir to the throne, King David, a man after God's own heart, and God began to use them in a mighty way. And they went from misfits, being in distress and in debt and discontented, to serving with the king of Israel, all based on a decision that they made. Now again, these guys were misfits. A lot of us, you may feel like, man, where in the world do I fit in? You may be at that vulnerable age. You may be a little bit older. We got older. We got a great blend here this morning of ages. And I don't know where you are in that spiritual life. I hope that you are saved. If you are saved, it's sort of like progress reports. Some of us got to go back a long time. You remember when you get those progress reports, they'd come in and they'd check how you were doing along the way? Well, there ought to be some progress reports in our own life. I'm talking about our spiritual life. Once we get saved, man, I hope you've grown just a little bit. You know, just like these Bay Little River over here. I don't know where she is. She's passed around somewhere now. Oh, Grandpa's got her back there now. You think about Little River. Now, right now, she's got to have some milk. That's what she's got to have. But as she develops and she grows, she's going to move up to that old nasty stuff in that can, man. That's like those squash and butternut squash and sweet potatoes and green beans and all that. I mean, it's nasty. If you've ever tasted baby food, I don't see how they eat it. It's the most bland stuff there is in the world. But you know what that baby's got to do? Got to have milk, got to have that baby food. Then they'll move up to the crumb crunching stage. Oh, yeah. And they'll sort of move up to the table scrap stage. And then once they get old enough, they'll be able to handle some meat. But she can't handle meat right now. Why? Because she's a new babe. You know, a new babe in Christ, a person that's just saved, you have to develop along the line. You got to progress the same way. But as we get older, we ought to move forward. But again, our tomorrows are based on our decisions today. Well, Lord, I sure don't feel like reading my Bible today. Lord, I really ain't got time to pray today. You better do that, because it'll help develop you. It'll help mold you into what God wants you to be. But there's some development along the way. These guys weren't always mighty men. They were misfits. But as you study 1 Chronicles chapter number 12, did you know that six times they're referred to as mighty men? In verse 1. In verse 4, in verse 21, in verse 25, verse 28, and verse number 30, they're referred to as mighty men. But don't miss the point. In the beginning, they were in distress. They were in debt, and they were discontented. You may feel insignificant today. You say, well, I can't do much. Well, you might not be able to do much, but you can do something for the Lord. God saved us for a purpose. He forgave us for a purpose. He hung on that cross for a purpose, to have fellowship with us. But we are His spokesman. We are His mouthpiece down here today to shine the light of the love of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God to a lost and dying generation that's on their way to hell. Somebody's got to make up the gap. Somebody has got to make up the hedge. Somebody has got to make a decision to do something for God, whether you're young or whether you're old. These guys made a difference, and they kept came to the cave of Adullam and down to Ziklag. And boy, we need some mighty men today. We need some mighty women today that'll stand in the gap, that'll make that decision to say, hey, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know, I can't control what somebody else is going to do. I can't control what this is going to do. But Lord, I want to be all that I can be for your honor and your glory. These guys made up the special forces. Hey, what I'm trying to say is you and I need to join the special forces of God, get on board, serve him not half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly, give our lives. And Lord, it'll be the greatest decision you'll ever make on this side of eternity. Other than getting saved, when you finally surrender, not surrender some, we sing that song, I surrender all. Most of us surrender some, now don't we? We sing that song, I surrender all. Very rarely do we all surrender all. We surrender some, but God wants us to surrender all. And we'll be glad that we did. You think about this. It's amazing how God uses the weak things. I think that's probably what I preached on last year, those weak things that God used. I mean, think about the examples in the Bible. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God uses weak things, base things, things that the world would look over. The world looks over the people of God, say, well, they'll never amount to nothing. But then God uses that individual that the world said they'd never amount to that because they made a decision one day that they were going to give it all to the Lord Jesus. They wanted to become part of the special forces of God, those mighty men, those mighty women. They make a difference day by day. Can I tell you this? I think about Brother Buchanan. He was preached here last night. I think he said he'd been saved or preaching for 40-some years. You know what? That didn't happen by accident. It didn't happen by accident. It was the day that he made a decision. I made a decision one day. Brother Evan made a decision one day. Brother Brandon made a decision. Many of you sitting in here today, Brother Logan, and others, you've made a decision that's helped define your today and tomorrow by a decision you made yesterday. And boy, God wants to help us all. God wants to use us all. Again, so many times we feel insignificant. Well, I'm weak. Well, God uses weak things. Think about this. Esther was an orphan, right? God used her. Noah was a drunk. God used him, right? Solomon was a womanizer, yet God used him. Thomas was a doubter. God used him. I mean, different examples throughout the Word of God. Martha, she was a worrier, yet God used him. Abraham, he was old. Sarah, she just wouldn't believe. But yet God used them to bring in that promised seed. You can go, hey, even God used Lazarus. Lazarus was dead. If God could use a dead man, surely he can use you and I. The list goes on and on and on in the Word of God about the weak things and the fragile things and the base things that God uses to become mighty men, to become those special forces. Well, I want to look just at a few things that these guys had. And I hope that it'll help us by way of that very practical. I believe it'll help us if you'll listen. But somebody, and it may just be me, a refresher for myself, to make sure that I've made that commitment that God wants me to make. Because God can use us. Sometimes we feel insufficient. Sometimes we feel insignificant. But yet God chose the weak things. Now, if God could use those people, God can use you and I. This crowd that was in distress. This crowd that was in debt. This crowd that was discontented, according to 1 Samuel 22 and verse number 2. If God can use that crowd to become mighty men, he can use you and I as well. What did these fellows had? I mean, how did they become mighty men? How did they go from misfits to mighty men? Can I just say this first off, and this is something you're going to have to do? They had to overcome great obstacles. They had to overcome some great obstacles. Well, what kind of obstacles did they have to overcome? We've already read they were in distress. They were in debt. They were discontented. But think about this. They had to overcome some social obstacles. Because how did they get into stress? By the environment in which they live. How did they get in debt? By the environment in which they live. How did they get discontented? In the environment in which they lived. They had to overcome that aspect socially to become the mighty men. I promise you today, especially if you're of a younger age, even middle-aged folk, your friends are not on the same page as you are, as a believer. Now, if they say they should be, But there's a lot of folks that are lost. I mean, they're living up, they're doing their own thing. And if you're going to be what God wants you to be, you're going to have to get your eyes off of man, what you think is successful. Hey, we ought to look through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ and see what He sees as He sees successful people. Did you know that God looks different on us than mankind does? Sure does. How you know that? Well, the Bible said the Lord looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. You can look that up, 1 Samuel chapter number 16. It's in there, man. And you think about this, there's decisions that we had to make, but we've got to overcome. Overcome socially. In a world in which we live, whoever dreamed we'd be dealing with some of the nonsense we're dealing with today? I'm talking about with the homosexual crowd, with this transgender mess and all the other stuff going on. I mean, we're getting further and further away from God. Many of you went in and come through the public school systems. You've been encountered with that. You've dealt with that. You've dealt with evolution. You've dealt with all that nonsense. And in order for you to be what God wants you to be, you're going to have to overcome some things socially. But not only socially, you're going to have to overcome some family ties as well. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, think about this. Saul was of the tribe of Benjamin. That's where he come from. The Bible said he was a son of Kish. Now, in order for these guys to overcome, they had to overcome socially because, again, they were in distress, they were in debt, they were discontented. But think about this, family-wise, some of them were from the tribe of Benjamin. Saul is on the throne. Yet they abandoned him to come to where David was. How do you know? We just read it a few moments ago. Notice in your Bible in 1 Chronicles 12 and verse number 2. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow. Even, watch this, of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. The old saying, blood is thicker than water. Well, these guys had to overcome not only social obstacles because they were in debt, they were distressed, they were discontented. They had to overcome families, even of Saul's own brethren of that tribe. Man, you need to stick with Saul. You need to stay with him. No, they had to overcome that to get to David, who was a man after God's own heart. So you can say this by way of application to you and I. How in the world can we go from misfits to mighty men? How can we become part of special forces? There's some things you're going to have to overcome. You're going to have to overcome some social obstacles. You're going to have to overcome some family obstacles. There's some folks, maybe even in your own family, ain't going to understand that you want to serve God. You want to give God. I mean, here's the thing today, and listen, I believe you ought to want the best for your children. But as a parent, man, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. Hey, what about serving God? What about serving the Lord? There's no greater thing than that, to pray that way and to steer them in that direction. But you may have to overcome those family obstacles. You may have to overcome those social obstacles. There's another thing that these guys did in order to go from misfits to mighty men. Not only did they have to overcome some obstacles, but listen, they originated from different backgrounds. They all come from different locations. They came from different regions. They came from different destinations. Everyone sitting in this building today, now I understand there's some families that are close. You come out of the same neighborhood, the same house. Some of you still live in the same. I get that. But for the most part, all of us come from different backgrounds. Is that not right? All of us are made different. We got different traits. We got different characteristics. We got different things. There's things that set you off that may not set me off. There's things that might set me off that may not set you off. We're all geared a little bit different. But ain't it amazing, Brother Randy, how God can take a bunch of misfits and put them together and they can become mighty men and mighty women for the glory of God when you yoke up to the special forces, when you make a decision today that'll define your tomorrow. But this crowd, they originated from different backgrounds. Hey, you know, notice what your Bible said, and you can just jot this down. In verse 24, some came from the children of Judah. Verse 25, some come from the children of Simeon. Verse 26, some came from the children of Levi. Verse 27, some from the children of Benjamin. Verse 34, the children of Naphtali. Verse 36, of Asher. Ephraim in verse 30, half tribe of Manasseh, verse 31, children of Issachar, verse 32, of Zebulun, 33, of the Danites, verse number 35. What I'm trying to say, all these men came from different backgrounds. They came from different tribes, yet God used them in the same way. God will do the same thing for you and I. Some folks say, well, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. You might not have been, but listen, you're a creature that the Lord Jesus Christ died for. You're a human being. You are special. You are precious, man. You are a prize. He loved you so much that He died on the cross, gave His life so you could be set free from sin, be forgiven, and then to serve Him. Man, what a privilege that is. But in order for them to go from misfits to mighty men and yoke up to the special forces, man, they had to overcome some obstacles. They all originated from different backgrounds. They were whosoever wills. So boy, that reminds me of Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know how God wanted us when we got saved? Just as we were. He saved us. And listen, don't ever try to be somebody that you're not. You know what? God didn't call me to be Brother Brandon. God didn't call me to be Brother Evan or Brother Logan. God didn't call Brother Logan to be like me or like Brother Brandon or Brother Evan to be like Brother Brandon. God called us to be who we are. What the Apostle Paul said, he said, I am what I am. By the grace of God, be proud of who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Use the traits. Use the character. Use the ability that God has given you and use it for the glory of God. Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift that was in him. Boy, these meetings right here are some things that will stir us up for the cause of Christ. Maybe set off an alarm. Maybe set off an alert in our heart and in our soul that, hey, you know, I want to be a part of the special forces. I don't want to just be average. I don't want to be standing. Status quo. I want to do something for God. But they had to overcome some great obstacles. They had originated from different backgrounds. But you know, they all owned the same desire. Every one of them had the same desire. They owned the same desire. What was that desire? Notice in 1 Chronicles 12 and verse number 17. And David went out to meet them, that's those men, and answered and said unto them, if ye be come peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye come to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there's no wrong in mine hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. So when these guys came, I mean, David's seen them come. He's down in Ziklag. He's been looking over his shoulder for years because he's refused. If Saul is after him, he's thinking, man, he sent these guys down to kill me. So David said, hey, you know, if you're come down to help me, our heart will be knit. Well, look at verse number 18. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains, and he said, watch this, thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse, peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Then David received them and made them captains of the band. Notice that phrase, he said, thine are we. Hey, we belong to you. And boy, there's a great parallel. There's a great application there. You know what he's literally saying, Brother Evan? They're saying, we belong to you, King. You know what we got to get to in the point of our life? We ought to have that same desire. Lord Jesus, you are our King, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We belong to you. I submit not just part of my life, Lord, I submit it all. The decision I make today is going to define my tomorrow. The decision I don't make to give you everything I got, Lord, it's going to define my tomorrow as well. As a young person, as a middle-aged person, as a senior adult, it makes no difference. The decisions that we're going to make today, these guys own the same desire. I love what it said in verse number 38. Watch this. Again, I emphasized when I read it in verse 38, didn't say some of them, didn't say part of them, didn't say a few of them. It said all. You know what all means in Hebrew? It means every single one of them. All these men of war that could keep right came with a what? A perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest, and rest also of Israel, were of one heart to make David king. In other words, this crowd was united in purpose. Their focus was the same. Let me park right here just a minute to our college and career, and this goes to everybody, but specifically to you. Again, make sure your focus is right. Make sure your eyes is not on somebody else in the assembly, somebody else in the church or in the church world. Get your eyes off that crowd and get them back on Jesus. Hey, the Bible still said in the book of Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We got to make sure that our focus is the same, the desire is the same. We shouldn't do anything for God so we can say, woo-hoo, look at what I did. No, sir, and no, ma'am. What we do for the Lord ought to reflect and radiate the glory of the God that saved us and called us and is using us for His glory. But this crowd had they were united in purpose. They owned the same desire. God help us to have the same desire to do something for God, not to be seen, but to give glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. See what these guys had to overcome? They had to overcome obstacles. They originated from different backgrounds, come from different standings. I mean, for example, Brother Jesse was raised in Wilkes County. If somebody was raised in Winston, even here in Yadkin, there's a little bit of difference being raised in Wilkes than is being raised down here, man. And I can say that and get by with it. I pastored up there 7 years. Been in here, over 12 years now. And it's amazing, and you see, but we all come from different backgrounds, but it's amazing, Brother Brandon, God can use us all in some shape, form, or fashion. But it's based on a decision that we make. These men were distressed, in debt, discontented. They was tired of that. So they came to the king. That's what you and I must do, but we ought to come and have that same desire. But notice they offered, these guys, what else did they do? They offered their talents and their abilities to the king. Well, what were their talents? Let's just look at these just a second. I'm not going to tarry here long. But notice some of them had some offense to offer. Look at verse number 2. We've already read it, but look at it again. The Bible said they were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones. You know what that is? That means they were ambidextrous. They could use either hand. Sort of like a switch hitter in baseball, man. You could hit right-handed, or you could turn around and you could hit left-handed. Shoot a basketball with the right hand or the left hand. These guys could shoot a bow with a right hand or a left hand. They could hurl stones accurately with either hand. And they offered what they had unto the king. They had offensive weapons. What do bows do? They shoot arrows. What does a slingshot sling? It slings stones. They offered offense unto the Lord. But what they were lacking, God had somebody else to supply the defense. But these guys were the office. That was the talent. That was the ability that they had, and they gladly surrendered it, Brother Adrian, unto the Lord. Not only that, look at verse number 8. And of the Gadites, there separated themselves unto David and of the hold to the wilderness, men of might and men of war, fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler. These bucklers and the shield, basically what that was a shield. Well, now the shield's not an offensive weapon. It's a defensive weapon. Now what the children of Benjamin couldn't do, hurling the stones and shooting the arrows, God made up the difference here with the Gadites, with the shields and the bucklers. I like that last phrase. Watch what it said in the last part of verse 8. Whose faces were like the faces of lions. Man, they were fierce. Fierce and mighty men, and were as swift as arrows upon the mountains. They were fierce, and they were swift, and they were for defense. So God has got this crowd that comes and presents what they have. Now, the Gadites weren't experts in hurling stones or shooting arrows, yet God still needed them. The children of Benjamin weren't experts in shield and buckler, but God had that covered with the Gadites. You see how God's putting all these pieces together? God's not asking me to provide something I don't have. He don't ask me to give Him something that I'm not capable of doing with His help, with the talents and the things that I've been given, the things that you've been given. God just wants us to give Him what we've got. So we got offense, we got defense, we ain't done. Listen, there's some more. What about verse number 32? Notice what your Bible said. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. You see, here was strategy. You see, the men of Benjamin, they could hurl the stones, they could shoot the arrows. The Gadites, they had the shield and they had the buckler. But they didn't have the understanding. They didn't have the strategy to put it together. But God plugged that piece in with the men of Issachar in verse number 32. They had strategy. So you see, the guys from Issachar, they couldn't hurl a stump, but they wouldn't know jealousy. Come on now. They wouldn't know jealousy. They wouldn't know envy. The boys from Issachar, they say, well, I can't throw a rock like the boys from Benjamin. I can't shoot an arrow like they do. I can't use the shield, and I can't use the buckler like the Gad. You don't see them complaining, man. They offered their talents and the abilities that they were good with, and they performed the strategy. Not only that, they got offense, they got defense, they got strategy. But notice multiple times there was men that were experts of war. You'll find it in verse number 33 with the children of Zebulun, Naphtali. You go on to verse number 35, expert in war, where it says of the Danites, expert in war, 28,000. What it says in verse 36, and of Asher, such as went forth to battle, expert in war. They had expertise in that. These were the special forces. Now, wait a minute. This is the same crowd in 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse number 2 that were distressed, in debt, and discontented. But now they've yoked up Brother Brandon with the winning team, as the preacher hit on last night. Now they're using all of their talents, all their abilities. What the Gadites were missing, God made up with the children of Issachar. What the children of Issachar was lacking and missing, He made up with the children of Benjamin. What the children of Benjamin were lacking, man, He made up with Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh, so on and so forth. What I'm trying to say is God used their talents and their abilities. They made a decision that day that I'm going to follow the King. What you and I need to do is to make a decision today. It'll define our tomorrow to yoke up with the King. What little I may have, I may feel insignificant, I may feel insufficient, I may feel like a misfit, but I'm here to tell you today that God can take that misfit, turn you into a mighty, He can make you, turn you into the special forces. But don't feel bad because you can't hurl a stone like somebody else. Don't feel bad, or don't feel bad you can't play a piano like Sister Savannah or Savannah Clark. Don't get upset because you can't teach like somebody. You can't do this or do that. Just use the ability and the talent that God's give you, and God wants you to be you. God wants Brian to be Brian. He don't expect nothing else out of it other than to present what I have, my talent, my ability, all what little they are. God wants them all, not a partial surrender. Think about this. To those that still say, well, I just can't do anything. Well, can't never could do anything. But I remind you, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 said, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:12 said, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being member are one body, so also is Christ. You say, preacher, I just ain't much. Think about this. Everybody look at this. It's a little finger up here. It ain't very, very big. But you cut it off and it affects this whole body. They say if you lose your big toe, there's no way you can walk because that helps balance, or any of your toes. It helps with your balance. You say, well, those toes, in comparison to my body, they're small. Yet you cut it off, it'll affect the whole body. You see, to work as a well-oiled machine, so to speak, spiritually in the local church, God takes people that have overcome obstacles socially, family obstacles, originated from different backgrounds. Yet He takes that crowd that own the same desire to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They offer their talent and their ability. And what's lacking with Brother Brandon, God allows me to fill in the gap. What's lacking with me, He allows Brother Evan and Brother Brandon and many here in the church and our deacon, our staff, and lay folks in the church to fill in the gap. God uses us all. But if one part's not functioning, it impacts and it affects the whole body. What are you trying to say, preacher? That crowd that may hear the message, they say, well, I'm satisfied where I am. I'm satisfied with the status quo. If you stay in that condition, you're going to affect the whole body. Because the decision you make today or the decision you don't make today is going to define your tomorrow. And it'll impact not only you individually, but collectively as a family and even as a church family. When not everybody's given their talent and their ability like they should. Amen. It'll impact it. You better make sure you understand that. But listen, this crowd, one other thing they did, they operated by rank. Look at verse 38 and we're done right here. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Heber. And that word rank is a military term that denotes submission and authority, organization and leadership. These men were wholly committed to the cause of the king. God wants us to be wholly committed. Boy, that goes right along with what Brother Buchanan was hitting last night. But these guys operated by rank. They knew who they were. They knew who they were. And they knew whose they were. They belonged unto King David. Hey, you and I need to understand we belong to King Jesus. All these men of war, the Bible said at verse number 38, these mighty men were not divided. They were not confused. They were not unsure about what they needed to do. They knew who the king was, and they submitted unto him with a perfect heart. Lord, help us to do the same thing. Sister Savannah's coming. The Bible said, James 4, verse number 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. These men were not always mighty men. They weren't always the special forces, but they made a decision one day that defined their tomorrow. There's a decision you make today. I remember as a 23-year-old, that night at revival, I made that decision. I said, God, I waited, man. I want to make sure that was right. I knew God was calling me to preach, but it took me 2 years, and I just didn't piddle around those 2 years. I served the Lord. I done the best I could because I wanted to make sure I was doing what God wanted me to do. But I made that decision then, Brother Brandon, that helped define my tomorrow. Decisions I make today will help define my tomorrow. You know, sometimes it's challenging. It's fearful because folks are afraid of failure. My biggest hang-up was I can't. Sister Caitlin, I said, I can't. Then finally one day God said it, you ain't got to worry about that, boy. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I understood that principle. I surrendered October the 7th, 2000. Many times since then I've had to make decisions that help define my life. But it's scary sometimes because we don't want to fail. We don't want to fall. It's sort of like this. Remember, if you ever go down to the ocean or Lord help us, like we did last fall, and go down here to the baptismal hole? Yeah. When the water's cold, Brother Brandon was helping me. He said, man, I'm wearing waders. I thought, man, I ain't going to be no sissy. I ain't going to wear no waders. But the more I got to think about that, I put them waders on, son. But you know what happens when you get down there to the water? You get in there and that first step. Oh, Lord. And then you're moving on, you're getting in deeper water. And you get on up out here and your eyes sort of roll up. But you know, after just a few minutes, Brother Adrian, you've been in there. Many of you, Brother Allen, Brother Josh. We get in that water, and after you're in there just a little bit, Brother Brandon, or Brother Randy, it really ain't that bad. Once you get out in that deeper water, yeah, instantly, man, you're sort of afraid it's cold. But then you sort of adapt. You say, man, I'm glad I'm out here. And then those little ones come down that receive Christ, you get the baptism. That may be a bad example, but Joshua chapter number 3, God told the people, when you see the priest with the ark standing in the Jordan River, he said, you remove out of your place and you cross that Jordan River. In order for them to get over there to the promised land where God had promised them, they had to take a step of faith, Sister Debbie. And the Bible said in Joshua chapter 3, and I believe it's in verse number 3 or verse number 4, you can look it up. The Bible said when the priest's soles of the feet touched that water, all the people removed from their place. They had to remove from that comfort zone to get to where God wanted them to be, where the blessings flow, where the promises of God were. And you see, they had to make a decision that were going to define their tomorrow. You may say, preacher, I don't know what God wants me to do, but he wants me to do something. Well, it's time for you to just submit and say, Lord, I want you to show me. God, what do you want me to do? Here I am. I ain't much. These men weren't much. They were misfits, discontented, distressed, and in debt. Yet 6 times in 1 Chronicles 12, they're referred to as mighty men. They become part of the special forces, Brother Randy. And I'm here to tell you today on the authority of the Word of God, you may feel like you ain't much, but God wants you just as you are with your talents. I can't hurl the stones. That's all right. You can hold the shield. I can't hold the shield. Well, maybe an expert in war. Well, I'm not an expert in war. Well, maybe you got some strategy that you can offer. We all got something we can offer to the Lord. But make the right decision today. Don't say no because it'll help define you tomorrow. If you'll make a decision today, it'll define your tomorrow as we stand all over the house. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I love you, and I thank you for the opportunity, the privilege, Lord, to share your word. God, today I've done my very best to empty the message of the hour. And I pray that your word wouldn't fall on void soil. Lord, I know it won't. I know it accomplished where you send. But God, we're reminded with these mighty men that become part of the special forces. God, you used them as they were. I pray for every person on the sound of our voice. I pray for our young people, our college and career. A lot of them got a decisions on the horizon. Careers, marriage, and children, houses, location, jobs. So many things on the horizon. God, help them make the right choice today. That'll define their tomorrow. God, if there's one here today lost, never been saved, I pray that today be this day of salvation. Do what's needed in this service. Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation. They prepare for retirement. They seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me? Well, first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. If God draws you by conviction, if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.